I have to say at the outset that I am so honored to be here today. You said you hope that the bonds of brotherhood grow stronger because of this gathering. I travel quite a bit, and I speak before a number of groups, and I have to tell you, the strength of brotherhood that you have here is enormous. It is phenomenal, and it is unique. I thank you for the warmth with which you greeted me these last 2 days. And like it or not, I feel I'm a part of you now. So this is a wonderful thing to be able to say. When I received Sayedna's invitation, he does have a remarkable way of getting you to agree to what he wants, I must say. And I very gratefully accepted. The people back home, brothers, I have to tell you, here in this diocese, you have a reputation that is unique. And I want to say it's important for me to be here, not just to impart some kind of wisdom to you as if I'm the source of wisdom. I am not. I am not a Gieron, I'm not a Staretz, I'm a fellow struggler with you. And I'm going to put this struggle before you as we talk about this pastoral and personal problem of anger. But I have to tell you, I have gotten so much by just being among you in a place, in a diocese, where unlike so many of the staid and old parishes back east, the parishes here are new and living and vibrant and vital. And there's always an eye to the future of growth. Those of you who know Pennsylvania, wonderful state Pennsylvania, but a lot of the church life in Pennsylvania has begun to evaporate and disintegrate because the whole area is evaporating before our eyes. So for me to come here to an environment where there's so much energy and vitality is a real ministry to me. And I want to thank you for inviting me, Sayedna, and I'll do my best to impart something here. When I accepted, Father Michael said, well, Father, as soon as you can get me the topic, I'll begin to advertise. And that's when the agony began. Because coming up with a topic is the hardest thing to do. Whenever you're preaching, whenever you're giving any kind of presentation, what topic are you going to speak of that's going to resonate with the people and maybe produce some insights that are new? Well, I turned this over in my head for weeks. It was a while before I was able to get back to Father Michael. And then one weekend, it became clear to me. And I just want to describe that weekend. We have in my parish a shelter where we serve lunch twice a week to the needy of the Chambersburg area. It's been a wonderful opportunity for my people to grow and for me to serve on the staff as well, to bring the parish into the community of the most needy people around us. And we serve lunch on Thursdays and Saturdays because the Salvation Army serves lunch every day except Thursday and Saturday, so we filled that gap. And there I was, after having spoken to you last fall, went to the center, the St. Seraphim Center. It was hot, it was humid, it was a September day in South Central Pennsylvania. And I get there to set up, and the people start to come in. And one of the guests starts inveighing against, insulting, verbally abusing a couple that had come in right before him. At first, I tried to ignore it. I just said, by my motion, take it down. He did it again. And I asked him, stop. You have to respect your fellow guests here. Everyone's going to show respect to you. You have to show respect to them. He sat down and started again. And I blew a cork. I was amazed at how quickly the anger rose in me and came out. And I went to the man and I confronted him directly. I did not ask him to leave, but I'll tell you, I was at the verge of doing it. And it ruined the whole day for me, for the guests who were there. And I carried that around with me because I was amazed at how strong the anger rose against me and took over me and led to that expression. All right, so this was a Saturday. So I went to the church. I had 2 counseling appointments. Of course, I can't tell you the details of those, but I will tell you in general. Both of them had to do with seething rage of the people who were there within their family, anger at family members, anger at their employers. I said, all right, now we get down to Vespers. That'll calm me. My chanters kept making mistakes. I mean, it's printed right there on the paper. Remember the days when you used to have a spinning chanter stand because you were using five books at the same time? Now it's all printed out. And still, there were mistakes. And I could feel myself standing at the altar getting angry. And then I was tired. So I said, I haven't eaten all day. So I was going to go home. I stopped at a restaurant that I always often stop at. And I see all these people in the parking lot. And all these people are around a state trooper. I get out and I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, we had two men in the restaurant. One became very angry at another. A fight broke out and we had to call the state police. I said, thank you. I got in my car and went home. I said, rather not eat than be in another atmosphere of anger. I call this day the day in Ortergetopia, to coin a new term, the place of anger. And so I may be a little slow on the uptake at times, but when coming up with the topic, I said, this is the topic. The topic is anger as a personal and pastoral problem, and I think it's something that we all face to one degree or another. And so that's how I came to the topic, and that's where I'm going to go with this. My introductory remarks, I'm going to boil down a little bit because we were going to do these last night, but I'm now going to conflate them with the first presentation. It's funny, though, that when you decide on a topic, how the topic keeps coming up in everything you look at and everything you read. One of my pious parishioners gave me a book, Counsels for Life. It's not a very popular book, but it's a very good one. It's from the life and teachings of Father Epiphanios Theodoropoulos. And I opened the book, and I came across this quote that hit me square between the eyes. Where anger goes, God does not. Could it be any more direct? This really struck me, and it reminded me of the very famous saying that I'm sure many of you are familiar with from Abba Agathon. A man who is angry, even if he were to raise the dead, is not acceptable to God. Now, we all know anger is a problem, but these quotes really drove home to me how central an issue it is for us as Christians, first of all, and as priests or deacons or bishops, to have this issue of anger really dealt with in a way that's congruent with what we should be doing in the world. Then I began to do research, and as I said, I am not an elder of any sort. I'm not a spiritual virtuoso in any way. I was doing this to try to overcome my own spiritual captivity to anger. And what I found really amazed me, the subtlety of the scriptural witness, the subtlety of the patristic psychology of anger, really taught me so much of what I needed to know, and I want to pass some of that on to you. A number of studies in the last decade have pointed to anger as a problem in society at large. This is a problem that is being felt transculturally, cross-culturally. And in the United Kingdom in 2008, there was a report that was formulated, the Mental Health Foundation's Boiling Point Report. And here's what some of the statistics were in that. I just want to give you these to underscore the centrality of this issue of anger. 28%, now this is in the United Kingdom, where I do think people are a little more civilized than we tend to be here. So, and this was 10 years ago, remember that. 28% feel that they worry about how angry they sometimes feel. That registered with me. 20% say that they have ended a relationship or a friendship with someone because of how the other persons behaved when they were angry. And I don't know whether you have this experience. Sometimes when you're in the presence of someone who's angry, I panic. You never know what the response is going to be. And finally in this report, it said 32% say that they have a close friend or family members who have trouble controlling their anger. So this is 10 years ago in the United Kingdom. There are a couple other statistics from that report. 12% say that they have trouble controlling their own anger. I certainly consider myself part of that, hopefully less so than I was a couple months ago as a result of the preparations for this retreat, but still, it's a problem. And finally, here's the interesting thing, to show that this is not decreasing. There's a generational difference. Older people, people in my age bracket and over, shall we say, are less likely than younger people to report having a close friend or family member with anger problems, or to report having trouble dealing with their own anger. I do think it's getting worse. And I do think that in many cases, our younger people have a harder time excluding anger from their usual day-to-day life and dealing with it. And finally, for those of you who want the reference for that, I can give that to you later. Finally, let me say this by way of statistics. NBC News did a survey in 2015, and Esquire magazine published it. They teamed up with NBC News. And Americans are very angry people. The results were published in January 2016, and the article was entitled American Rage. The article opens with this summary. Half of Americans are angrier today than they were a year ago. We're among those, and we're dealing with people who fit into that category every day. And then there was a graphic that I thought was very revealing. How often do you hear or read something in the news that makes you angry? 31%, a few times a day. 37%, once a day. Together, that's 68%, 20% once a week, 5% once a month, and 6% rarely. Obviously, people are provoked into anger quite easily. And not about clergy. This is where it comes home. Christianity today Christianity Today published an article by Pastor Ed Rowell, and he stated, "Are most parish pastors angrier than they used to be, or are my friend and I just in need of a good therapist? I took a highly unscientific email summary survey of 25 friends in the ministry. 22 answered, and 20 said, 'You're darn right, I'm angrier than I used to be, and here's why.' And they provided the reason. I'm sure the other two are in denial and will come around when they read the article." I was in seminary, and my confessor at that time discerned in me, "You know, you get angry very easily. This is a problem because you're going to hit a lot of things in your priesthood that are going to make you resentful. If you start resenting things or people and anger is joined to that resentment, it results in bitterness that is almost impossible to overcome." He said, these things that we as pastors face, and by the way, I think the resources of our spiritual tradition in Orthodoxy make us a lot less susceptible than people in other traditions who don't have so many resources on which to draw. But we are really also subject to this. There's a number of trends behind clergy anger. Just read these for a minute. This is very interesting. And I see how many of them may apply. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. 90% report that the ministry was very different from what they thought it would be. 80% expect conflict within their church. Gee, I wonder what that's like. 70% report that they have a lower self-image than when they started. 70% do not have someone they consider to be a close friend. By the way, this is the first thing I tell young priests who come to me, "What can you give me as a bit of advice for surviving in the priesthood?" I said, "Have a couple close friends that you can call and get in touch with when you need to." I'm amazed at how many of us, even those of us who are married and have families, are alone, friendless. And this really breeds that resentment. 54% find the role of pastor overwhelming. Depends on the day, that's for sure. In a recent survey, and this is pretty brutal, pastor is near the bottom of the list of most respected professions. And I didn't put what it's above. It's above used car salesmen. So to end these introductory remarks before getting to the first session, I want you to look at this. This is in our prayer book. It's in all kinds of prayer books. The capital sins, the capital vices, right? Pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, akidia, sloth. How many of these do we dare to attribute to God? We never talk about God's presence. pride. God doesn't need to be prideful. He's all in all. God greedy, who would dare say it? God's lust, wouldn't say that. God's gluttony, God's envy, God's sloth, the ever active. But we talk about God's anger. And that really focuses in on the spiritual and theological issue here. This is a vice that human beings definitely suffer from. And we have the nerve to see in our anger all too many times a parallel, a congruence between our anger and God's anger. And this is where the spiritual and theological problem comes in. With a couple of the brothers yesterday, we were talking about St. Ambrose of Milan, one of my favorite Western fathers. And probably, I think, his most intriguing work is his work on the duties of clergy, De Officiis Ministrorum. And here's what he says, the duty of the clergy. Anger, he's talking to clergy now, must be avoided. And if it cannot be avoided, it must be kept within proper limits. Resist anger if you can. Draw back from it if you cannot. And so here I am to give this retreat on anger as a personal and pastoral problem. Here are the presentations I'll be making. The one I'll be moving into now, the first presentation, is the scriptural assessment of anger. And I go through the scripture not as if all of scripture is some ahistorical, contemporal kind of oracle, but I look at scripture in its various historical periods. And I detected in doing this kind of scriptural study that there is a progression in the scriptural assessment of anger from acceptance to suspicion of anger to outright rejection of anger. We'll look at that in the first presentation. The second is the patristic etiology of anger, what the fathers say about its origins and its offspring, what it produces. The third, this is my favorite of the presentations, and this is where I was most surprised at the insight of the patristic psychology. The cure of anger, therapeutic approaches. And I detected 8 approaches that the fathers give for therapeutically addressing anger and dealing with it. And then finally, the concluding session will be evangelization in an angry age. This is going to be my shortest of the presentations because I'm sure there will be a lot of reaction to that.